These are the instructions for the B1, B2 exam. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. You'll hear each piece twice. Ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Look at part 1. You will hear two people, Dean and Fiona, talking about their favourite films. For each question, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. You have 30 seconds to read the instructions. Now you will hear part 1. Dean.
Right, my favorite film. I think that would probably be Raiders of the Lost Ark, which subsequently was renamed the first Indiana Jones film. It came out in, I believe, 1981, the year after Empire Strikes Back. The director was Steven Spielberg. And, of course, the most famous actor in the film is Harrison Ford. But as well, it had Karen Allen, who played Marion, and the villain was played by, I believe, Paul Freeman. The plot is pretty basic. Indiana Jones, as almost everybody knows, is an archaeologist who is also a college professor. So he teaches, and then in between his teaching, he manages somehow to run around the world looking for unusual or precious artifacts of ancient civilizations. And he fights the Nazis. I guess this was in the lead up to the war or during the war. I'm not forget which year it was supposed to be set in. And why it's my favorite? I guess because it was an interesting, well, the movie never stopped moving. It was just one sort of adventure after another. And it was also interesting because Indiana Jones obviously had this wonderful adventure life, but he also was part of the community. He worked in the college, and that kind of duality appealed to me, where you can run off and do crazy things, but you can also have some kind of intellectual life that's useful not only for yourself, your personal development, but for the wider community.
Fiona.
My favourite film is a film directed by Vera Titilova, who is an Eastern European director from the Czech Republic, and she directed a film called Daisies, which I find to be one of the most interesting films I've ever seen. It's got very little plot, it's quite a crazy film, there are trees in the film that have both apples and oranges on them, and politically I think that the film is a criticism of consumerism, because there are two girls in the film who spend a lot of time eating a huge amount of food, and they go to a banquet at the end and they really consume an incredible amount of food, and the two girls both have the same name. It's a very unpredictable film, very unusual, and I think that anyone who sees this film will be very surprised.
Now you will hear part one again. Dean.
Right, my favorite film. I think that would probably be Raiders of the Lost Ark, which subsequently was renamed the first Indiana Jones film. It came out in, I believe, 1981, the year after Empire Strikes Back. The director was Steven Spielberg, and of course, the most famous actor in the film is Harrison Ford, but as well, it had Karen Allen, who played Marion, and the villain was played by, I believe, Paul Freeman. The plot is pretty basic. Indiana Jones, as almost everybody knows, is an archaeologist who's also a college professor. So he teaches, and then in between his teaching, he manages somehow to run around the world looking for unusual or precious artifacts of ancient civilizations. And he fights the Nazis. I guess this was in the lead up to the war or during the war. I'm not forget which year it was supposed to be set in. And why it's my favorite, I guess because it was an interesting, well, the movie never stopped moving. It was just one sort of adventure after another. And it was also interesting because Indiana Jones obviously had this wonderful adventure life, but he also was part of the community. He worked in the college, and that kind of duality appealed to me, where you can run off and do crazy things, but you can also have some kind of intellectual life that's useful not only for yourself, your personal development, but for the wider community.
Fiona.
My favorite film is a film directed by Vera Titilova, who is an Eastern European director from the Czech Republic, and she directed a film called Daisies, which I find to be one of the most interesting films I've ever seen. It's got very little plot. It's quite a crazy film. There are trees in the film that have both apples and oranges on them, and politically I think that the film is a criticism of consumerism, because there are two girls in the film who spend a lot of time eating a huge amount of food, and they go to a banquet at the end and they really consume an incredible amount of food, and the two girls both have the same name. It's a very unpredictable film, very unusual, and I think that anyone who sees this film will be very surprised.
That is the end of part one. Now look at part two. Listen to three people, Janine, Andrew and Fiona, talk about their best holiday. Complete the questions 1 to 7 with the correct letter, J, A or F. You have 30 seconds to read the instructions. Now you will hear part two. Janine.
My best holiday was really an extended break from work. I travelled 6 months around South America by bus, sometimes by plane too, but mainly by bus. I saw and learnt a lot in a very, very short space of time, such as the importance of not arriving at a bus station at 2 o'clock in the morning with no place to sleep. I also learnt to travel with very few objects, so I really know what it means to travel light. That experience really changed my life, and it also gave me some kind of incentive, really, to speak Spanish, and I saw Spanish being used in a very practical way, because I needed to get around and I needed many things for that journey. So really, that was my best holiday that I've ever had.
Andrew.
The best holiday I've ever taken was 5 years ago when my wife and I decided to do a road trip through the United States. We started in Cleveland, which is where my parents live, and took my parents' car and drove all the way down to New Orleans. We made stops in Oxford, Ohio, which is where I went to university. Then we went to Nashville, stopping in Graceland to see where Elvis lived. Then we went to Memphis. Then we went to Natchez, which is in Mississippi. And this was the first time that I had ever been in the South, in the Southern United States. And I have to say, it was quite an experience. The different foods, the different people, the different language, the different accents. For me, was a fantastic experience. We got to go to a really cool blues club in the middle of the Mississippi Delta, which for me was a great experience because I really like blues music. And then we finally made it down to New Orleans, where we got to try the Cajun cooking and the gumbo and things like this, which are dishes that are typically served in that part of the country. The weather throughout the entire travel was hot and muggy and humid. And we also did a couple more kind of cultural activities. We went to the Vicksburg Memorial Site, which is one of the most important battles of the Civil War. And we also saw an old slave plantation, which was a very eye-opening experience.
Fiona.
The best holiday I have ever had was probably when I went to South Korea to visit my sister a few years ago. Even when I got off the plane, I was very surprised about the different smells and the different feelings that I had. Being in the East is very different to being in the West. Everything seemed very different. I had to get a bus for 3 hours to go and go to Ansong, which is the city where my sister was staying. And we also went to visit a Korean island called Dokjok Island, and we went to visit different parts of South Korea. And the weather was quite warm. It was September. And we even went to the beach, although people don't tend to sunbathe there, and they like to keep they don't like to get a tan. So it's quite there weren't any people on the beach really, but it's a beautiful country, and the food is fantastic. They do eat dogs, but only in specific restaurants, so you can't make a mistake. Which is lucky. And I think it's the culture, the people, everything is very interesting. And I certainly would recommend that you go and visit South Korea if you can.
Now you will hear part two again. Janine.
My best holiday was really an extended break from work. I travelled 6 months around South America by bus, sometimes by plane too, but mainly by bus. I saw and learnt a lot in a very, very short space of time, such as the importance of not arriving at a bus station at 2 o'clock in the morning with no place to sleep. I also learnt to travel with very few objects. So I really know what it means to travel light. That experience really changed my life, and it also gave me some kind of incentive really to speak Spanish, and I saw Spanish being used in a very practical way because I needed to get around and I needed many things for that journey. So really that was my best holiday that I've ever had.
Andrew.
The best holiday I've ever taken was 5 years ago when my wife and I decided to do a road trip through the United States. We started in Cleveland, which is where my parents live, and took my parents' car and drove all the way down to New Orleans. We made stops in Oxford, Ohio, which is where I went to university. Then we went to Nashville, stopping in Graceland to see where Elvis lived. Then we went to Memphis. Then we went to Natchez, which is in Mississippi. And this was the first time that I had ever been in the southern United States. And I have to say, it was quite an experience. The different foods, the different people, the different language, the different accents. For me, was a fantastic experience. We got to go to a really cool blues club in the middle of the Mississippi Delta, which for me was a great experience because I really like blues music. And then we finally made it down to New Orleans, where we got to try the Cajun cooking and the gumbo and things like this, which are dishes dishes that are typically served in that part of the country. The weather throughout the entire travel was hot and muggy and humid. And we also did a couple more kind of cultural activities. We went to the Vicksburg Memorial Site, which is one of the most important battles of the Civil War. And we also saw an old slave plantation, which was a very eye-opening experience.
Fiona.
The best holiday I have ever had was probably when I went to South Korea to visit my sister a few years ago. Even when I got off the plane, I was very surprised about the different smells and the different feelings that I had. Being in the East is very different to being in the West. Everything seemed very different. I had to get a bus for 3 hours to go and go to Ansong, which is the city where my sister was staying. And we also went to visit a Korean island called Dokjok Island, and we went to visit different parts of South Korea. And the weather was quite warm. It was September. And we even went to the beach, although people don't tend to sunbathe there, and they like to keep they don't like to get a tan. So it's quite a, there weren't any people on the beach really, but it's a beautiful country, and the food is fantastic. They do eat dogs, but only in specific restaurants, so you can't make a mistake. Which is lucky. And I think it's the culture, the people, everything is very interesting. And I certainly would recommend that you go and visit South Korea if you can.
That is the end of part two. Now look at part three. Listen to Andrew, Dean, and Matt talking about the internet. For each question, 1 to 8, write A, D, or M. You can use the letters more than once. You have 30 seconds to read the instructions. Now you will hear part three. Andrew.
In my opinion, the most important invention of the 20th century is the internet. I feel that it's something that has revolutionized the way we communicate, and it allows me, in living in Spain, to be in almost constant contact with my parents and friends that live in other countries like the US or France or Canada. And it's also something that, when I was born in 1982, didn't exist. So over the past 20 years, it has grown at such an enormous rate that now 40% of the world have access to internet, and 80% of the developed world have access to internet, which I think is a phenomenal growth.
Dean.
I think the invention that has had the most important impact on my life and probably on that of millions or even billions of other people is the invention of the internet and computer technology in general, but especially the internet, because of the easy access to information that it gives to many, many people all over the world. I mean, you can read text, you can see photos and watch videos of people and places from across the world, even as it's happening. And that's had a profound, I think, effect on how we think of the world, how we think of ourselves and our relation with other people. And it's had both, obviously, positive and negative consequences. The positive is that hopefully, if we look for the information, the factual information, we can learn a lot more about people and places that we didn't know about and try to understand each other a lot better. And I guess one of the negative consequences is that you can kind of disappear into these little subcultures where you only talk to people who have the same opinions or ideas as you do, and it becomes kind of a vicious circle.
Matt.
So I think that the internet has been one of the most important inventions potentially of all times, especially due to, well, for a variety of reasons, but specifically due to its role in social media. So social media is one use for the internet that has really expanded in recent years and is now an important part of pretty much every one of our lives, especially for the younger generation, but really for all generations. And it's great that now we're able to do things that people before the existence of social media wouldn't have been able to do. We're able to keep in contact with friends that we have far around the world, friends that is difficult to keep in contact with in other ways, but due to social media, we can still maintain those relationships. So it's great to be able to keep in contact with a wide variety of people. There are pros and cons to social media, and there are many, many of each of those, but I think overall it's something that really adds to our lives, and if we use it wisely, it can be a great addition to modern day life.
Now you will hear part three again. Andrew.
In my opinion, the most important invention of the 20th century is the internet. I feel that it's something that has revolutionized the way we communicate, and it allows me, in living in Spain, to be in almost constant contact with my parents and friends that live in other countries like the US or France or Canada. And it's also something that, when I was born in 1982, didn't exist. So over the past 20 years, it has grown at such an enormous rate that now 40% of the world have access to internet, and 80% of the developed world have access to internet, which I think is a phenomenal growth.
Dean.
I think the invention that has had the most important impact on my life and probably on that of millions or even billions of other people is the invention of the internet and computer technology in general, but especially the internet because of the easy access to information that it gives to many, many people all over the world. I mean, you can read text, you can see photos and watch videos of people and places from across the world, even as it's happening. And that's had a profound, I think, effect on how we think of the world, how we think of ourselves and our relation with other people. And it's had both, obviously, positive and negative consequences. The positive is that hopefully, if we look for the information, the factual information, we can learn a lot more about people and places that we didn't know about and try to understand each other a lot better. And I guess one of the negative consequences is that you can kind of disappear into these little subcultures where you only talk to people who have the same opinions or ideas as you do, and it becomes kind of a vicious circle.
Matt.
So I think that the internet has been one of the most important inventions, potentially of all times, especially due to, well, for a variety of reasons, but specifically due to its role in social media. So social media is one use for the internet that has really expanded in recent years and is now an important part of pretty much every one of our lives, especially for the younger generation, but really for all generations. And it's great that now we're able to do things that people before the existence of social media wouldn't have been able to do. We're able to keep in contact with friends that we have far around the world, friends that is difficult to keep in contact with in other ways, but due to social media, we can still maintain those relationships. So it's great to be able to keep in contact with a wide variety of people. There are pros and cons to social media, and there are many, many of each of those, but I think overall it's something that really adds to our lives, and if we use it wisely, it can be a great addition to modern day life.
That is the end of part 3. Now look at part 4. Listen to Jane explain her study tips to help students prepare for exams. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, or C, which you think is correct. You have 45 seconds to read the instructions. Now you will hear part 4.
Hi everyone, in this video I would like to share 10 study tips that I have used during my years at school that kept me organized and helped me to get good grades. Tip number 1 is to organize your study area. Before you even sit down to study, you have to make sure you get everything you need in one place so you don't have an excuse to stand up and walk around searching for it. Don't forget the snacks and the water. Tip number 2. Keep a schedule. Get a large calendar and write down due dates of all your tests, exams, assignments, and papers. Some people prefer to put notifications in their phone, but I find that having an actual paper calendar in front of your eyes gives you a better sense of time. Place a calendar somewhere near your study place, that way you're constantly aware what is due when and for which subject. You can also get creative and use stickers to remind you about upcoming deadlines. Tip number 3. Make a study goal. Before you sit down to study, write down what you want to accomplish during the study session. Be specific. By doing that, you're setting a goal for yourself. Setting a goal is very important, as subconsciously you would feel that once you reach your study goal, you can take a break and reward yourself. If you do not have a study plan, you might feel overwhelmed by the amount of material you have to go through. A study goal will help you to feel organized and keep track of time. Tip number 4. Read the textbook. Seems obvious, but so many people rely just on their lecture notes and skip the textbook entirely. Throughout the years of studying, I found that the most effective way to read the textbook goes like this. First, just read the chapter like you would a novel. Do not try to understand the material, nor take any notes. Once you do that, come back to the chapter, but this time read it much slower, take notes, and try to understand the material. And remember, no matter how good your lecture notes are, the textbook will always have more information. Tip number 5. Make flashcards. Okay, so this tip is self-explanatory. For classes that require a lot of memorization, prepare a stack of flashcards and carry them with you. Every time you have a free minute, review them. It is simple, but it does help to remember the material. Tip number 6. Use Pomodoro technique. Study for 25 minutes and take 5-minute breaks. Every third break, take up to 20 minutes. You can set a stopwatch on your phone to keep track of time. Tip number 7. Reward yourself. Every time you reach your study goal, reward yourself with something small but enjoyable. A piece of chocolate, a bubble bath, or your favorite TV show. Decide on your reward before you sit down to study so you have something to look forward to. Tip number 8. Turn off your computer. Now, obviously, it is not always possible to study without a computer, but when it is, turn it off. Without the temptation of internet, you would concentrate so much more on the subject that you're studying. Tip number 9 is to switch it up. Be creative. You don't always have to study at your desk. For example, you can go over your lecture notes while taking a bubble bath. Just put your notes in a clear folder so they don't get wet. Tip number 10. Remember the big picture. There are many reasons why you would want to get a good grade. It's either to get into an Ivy League school or get a scholarship. Whatever your reasons are, write them down on a piece of paper and keep them within your eyesight. When you're feeling discouraged, unmotivated, and tired, it would help you to remember why you're still studying at 2 a.m. in the morning, or why you're at home cracking math problems while all of your friends are out partying. Remember, always keep the end goal in mind. This is it for my tips. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to my channel.
Now you will hear part 4 again.
Hi everyone, in this video I would like to share 10 study tips that I have used during my years at school that kept me organized and helped me to get good grades. Tip number 1 is to organize your study area. Before you even sit down to study, you have to make sure you get everything you need in one place so you don't have an excuse to stand up and walk around searching for it. Don't forget the snacks and the water. Tip number 2. Keep a schedule. Get a large calendar and write down due dates of all your tests, exams, assignments, and papers. Some people prefer to put notifications in their phone, but I find that having an actual paper calendar in front of your eyes gives you a better sense of time. Place a calendar somewhere near your study place, that way you're constantly aware what is due when and for which subject. You can also get creative and use stickers to remind you about upcoming deadlines. Tip number 3. Make a study goal. Before you sit down to study, write down what you want to accomplish during the study session. Be specific. By doing that, you're setting a goal for yourself. Setting a goal is very important, as subconsciously you would feel that once you reach your study goal, you can take a break and reward yourself. If you do not have a study plan, you might feel overwhelmed by the amount of material you have to go through. A study goal will help you to feel organized and keep track of time. Tip number 4. Read the textbook. Seems obvious, but so many people rely just on their lecture notes and skip the textbook entirely. Throughout the years of studying, I found that the most effective way to read the textbook goes like this. First, just read the chapter like you would a novel. Do not try to understand the material, nor take any notes. Once you do that, come back to the chapter, but this time read it much slower, take notes, and try to understand the material. And remember, no matter how good your lecture notes are, the textbook will always have more information. Tip number 5. Make flashcards. Okay, so this tip is self-explanatory. For classes that require a lot of memorization, prepare a stack of flashcards and carry them with you. Every time you have a free minute, review them. It is simple, but it does help to remember the material. Tip number 6. Use Pomodoro technique. Study for 25 minutes and take 5-minute breaks. Every third break, take up to 20 minutes. You can set a stopwatch on your phone to keep track of time. Tip number 7. Reward yourself. Every time you reach your study goal, reward yourself with something small but enjoyable. A piece of chocolate, a bubble bath, or your favorite TV show. Decide on your reward before you sit down to study so you have something to look forward to. Tip number 8, turn off your computer. Now, obviously, it is not always possible to study without a computer, but when it is, turn it off. Without the temptation of internet, you would concentrate so much more on the subject that you're studying. Tip number 9 is to switch it up. Be creative. You don't always have to study at your desk. For example, you can go over your lecture notes while taking a bubble bath. Just put your notes in a clear folder so they don't get wet. Tip number 10, remember the big picture. There are many reasons why you would want to get a good grade. It's either to get into an Ivy League school or get a scholarship. Whatever your reasons are, write them down on a piece of paper and keep them within your eyesight. When you're feeling discouraged, unmotivated, and tired, it would help you to remember why you're still studying at 2 a.m. in the morning, or why you're at home cracking math problems while all of your friends are out partying. Remember, always keep the end goal in mind. This is it for my tips. Thank you for watching. Please subscribe to my channel.
That is the end of part 4. Now look at part 5. Listen to Dean and Janine talking about their hobbies. Complete the sentences 1 to 8 using a maximum of 4 words. You have 30 seconds to read the instructions. Now you will hear part 5. Dean.
So, Dean, tell me about your hobbies.
Well, Doris, I like to paint watercolors.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, I find it very relaxing. And also, I used to like oil painting a lot, but I actually got interested in watercolor painting because of a cartoon strip in the 1980s, Calvin and Hobbes.
I remember that cartoon strip. It was funny. It was funny, yeah.
Yeah, and what was interesting about it is the artist who did that, you know, worked in pen and ink for the daily strips, but on Sundays, he would paint these really elaborate watercolor paintings, and it was really lovely, and it kind of sparked my interest in that kind of painting.
So is there a big difference between working in oil and working in water?
Yeah. I mean, with oil, basically, if you make a mistake or you change your mind or something, you can paint over it.
Mm-hmm.
But with watercolor painting, because it's very transparent, you can paint over it, but you can see everything underneath. So if you've changed your mind or if you've made a mistake, which you do when you're learning how to do it, you basically have to start again.
Okay. And have you ever had an exhibition? Have you ever...
No. I just do it just because I enjoy it, and it's something that's fun for me, but I don't think anybody wants to see my paintings.
So what do you do with your paintings? Are they hanging in your house?
I usually give them to family or friends. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have any... It's still in my possession. I usually give them away.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Well, you know, they're not very good to look at, so I don't have to look at them.
I don't believe that. I'm sure they're beautiful.
Well, I don't know about that.
Janine.
Hi, Janine. How are you?
I'm fine, Dean. Thanks. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
What do you like to do in your free time? Do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. I suppose every week I try to go swimming. Mm-hmm. I try to do 30 lengths just to kind of keep fit. I'm actually not a very good swimmer, but I just really like the sensation to, not think about anything and just relax, really. It really helps me relax. So I really like swimming, and my son really likes swimming too. So we kind of do it at the same time in parallel to each other. And the other thing I really love to do, which I don't even know is a hobby or not, but I really like to read newspaper articles.
Right.
And I love to read the commentaries that people make after the article. Although not all newspaper articles let you do that, where they do, I love to read all the comments, what people think, how they put their argument together. Because I like the sensation that you're getting lots and lots of different perspectives
right.
without actually having the pressure to contribute yourself. So it's a little bit like being a fly on the wall, if you like.
Right.
So I really enjoy doing that. And I suppose my third hobby, I'd say, is going to cultural and gastronomic events.
Okay.
Such as art exhibitions, museums, workshops, and food fairs.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, for example, I went to one that was an art exhibition, and it was about prison artists.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it was really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because really the idea was that they were using their art as a means to escape
right.
Everyday physical constraints. So, you know, that was great.
Okay.
And I think there's a food fair coming up in my local area this weekend, which I'm really looking forward to going to.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're invited.
See you
there.
All right, see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now you will hear part 5 again. Dean.
So, Dean, tell me about your hobbies.
Well, Doris, I like to paint watercolors.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, I find it very relaxing. And also, I used to like oil painting a lot, but I actually got interested in watercolor painting because of a cartoon strip. In the 1980s, Calvin and Hobbes.
I remember that cartoon strip.
It was funny.
It was funny, yeah.
Yeah, and what was interesting about it is the artist who did that, you know, worked in pen and ink for the daily strips, but on Sundays, he would paint these really elaborate watercolor paintings, and it was really lovely, and it kind of sparked my interest in that kind of painting.
So is there a big difference between working in oil and working in water?
Yeah. I mean, with oil, basically, if you make a mistake or you change your mind or something, you can paint over it.
Mm-hmm.
But with watercolor painting, because it's very transparent, you can paint over it, but you can see everything underneath. So mm-hmm. if you've changed your mind or if you've made a mistake, which you do when you're learning how to do it, you basically have to start again.
Okay. And have you ever had an exhibition? Have you ever...
No. I just do it just because I enjoy it, and it's something that's fun for me, but I don't think anybody wants to see my paintings.
So what do you do with your paintings? Are they hanging in your house?
I usually give them to family or friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have any... It's still in my possession. I usually give them away.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Well, you know. They're not very good to look at, so I don't have to look at them.
I don't believe that. I'm sure they're beautiful.
I don't know about that.
Janine.
Hi, Janine. How are you?
I'm fine, Dean. Thanks. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
What do you like to do in your free time? Do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. I suppose every week I try to go swimming. I try to do 30 lengths just
wow.
to kind of keep fit. I'm actually not a very good swimmer, but I just really like the sensation to, not think about anything and just relax, really. It really helps me relax. So I really like swimming, and my son really likes swimming too. So we kind of mm-hmm. do it at the same time in parallel to each other. And the other thing I really love to do, which I don't even know is a hobby or not,
mm-hmm.
but I really like to read newspaper articles.
Right.
And I love to read the commentaries that people make after the article.
Oh,
although,
right.
although not all newspaper articles let you do that,
mm-hmm.
Where they do, I love to read all the comments, what people think, how they put their argument together. Because I like the sensation that you're getting lots and lots of different perspectives
right.
without actually having the pressure to contribute yourself. So it's a little bit like being a fly on the wall, if you like.
Right.
So I really enjoy doing that. And I suppose my third hobby, I'd say, is going to cultural and gastronomic events.
Okay.
Such as art exhibitions, museums, workshops, and food fairs.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, for example, I went to one that was an art exhibition,
and it was about prison artists.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because really the idea was that they were using their art as a means to escape everyday physical constraints. So, you know, that was great.
Okay.
And I think there's a food fair coming up in my local area this weekend, which I'm really looking forward to going to.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're invited. See you there.
All right, see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is the end of the listening exam. You now have 5 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. Please stop writing.